I know the failure of the bailout in Congress yesterday and the resulting stock market and financial repercussions in the U.S. and around the world is story number one today, but it's not the only story. We could talk about the fact that Congress voted $612 billion for defense last week, not counting the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, so it's probably closer to a trillion in all for the coming year. And, I mean, you heard it here, you heard it on the station, you read about it on the net. Otherwise, it just was under the radar. And that's as much, you know, that's the same amount of money that this bailout. We could talk about the explosive testimony coming out in an Ohio court case about Republican election stealing operations over the last 8 years. We don't have time, so I recommend that you Google either Stephen Spoonamore, just like it sounds, or Mike Connell, C-O-N-N-E-L-L, two of the perpetrators. And Spoonamore is already testifying, and Connell has been called. Or you go to Brad Blog or places like that to learn more. It's explosive, and hopefully more of it gets out and around the country before November 4th. But today, we're going to focus on health care, because a powerful documentary, Critical Condition, airs on PBS. So what's Critical Condition going to talk about when it talks about a health care crisis? The U.S. spends $217 million per hour on health care. That's over $2 trillion a year, over $6,000 per person. Yet, as you know, we're the only major industrial nation without universal coverage. 47 million Americans live without health insurance, and 80% of them are from working families who either cannot afford insurance premiums or lose their insurance exactly when they need it most, when they fall ill or can no longer work. Despite spending 50% more on health care, get that, 50% more on health care than any other country in the world, America ranks 15th in preventable death, 24th in life expectancy, and 28th in infant mortality. Healthcare premiums have risen 86% between 2000 and 2006, while wages rose 20%. Putting the strain on working families, healthcare costs continue to be the number one cause of bankruptcy in America. In 2007, nearly two-thirds of U.S. adults, or an estimated 116 million people, either struggled to pay medical bills, went without needed care because of cost, were uninsured for a time, or were underinsured. The struggles of the four families profiled in Critical Condition tonight by Roger Weisberg, producer-director, put a human face on the nation's growing health care crisis. They discover, these people, that being uninsured can cost you your job, your health, your home, your savings, even your life. Patrick Dowling, M.D., is the Kaiser Permanente Professor of Community Medicine and Chairman of the Department of Family Medicine at the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA. He learned that healthcare was a unique social good and a basic right at his first position. He was Medical Director of the United Farm Workers of America Clinics under Cesar Chavez. In California's Coachella and Imperial Valleys in the 1970s, his professional interests involved linking graduate medical education to underserved communities as a means to improve access and reduce health outcome disparities among racial and ethnic minorities. Veteran documentary filmmaker Roger Weisberg's 30 previous films have earned over 100 awards, including Emmy, DuPont Columbia, Peabody Awards, and two Academy Award nominations. He's made the healthcare system in America a special focus of his work with such films as What's Ailing Medicine, Are Children at Risk, Borderline Medicine, Who Lives, Who Dies, Can't Afford to Grow Old, and the newest one, Critical Condition. Welcome Patrick Dowling and Roger Weisberg.
Good to be with you.
Thank you.
Okay, who is who?
This is Patrick Dowling.
Okay. And the
Roger
other
Weisberg.
Okay,
right.
So we've got a sort of a more soft-spoken Roger Weisberg, and a little more more powerful voice there is Dr. Patrick Dowling. I'd like listeners to get to know a bit about the people behind the ideas and the work we talk about. First, Dr. Dowling, how did you come to work with the UFW in the 70s?
I grew up in the Midwest, and my church had been involved in a grape boycott, so I followed that and decided if I ever became a physician, it's something I wanted to get involved with. So it was a great early choice.
And what did you actually do in those days?
I was a family doctor at the time. I had just gotten out of training at Cook County Hospital in Chicago, and my wife and I drove cross country with a 2-month-old baby and stayed out there for 3 years running this clinic in the middle of nowhere and caring for migrant farm workers.
Wow. I appreciate what you did. Roger Weisberg, why your recent focus on health care, and do you believe your films can make a difference?
Well, the reason we chose to focus on it now is that I think that we're in the midst of one of those debates that comes along every 15 or 20 years where our elected officials are contemplating how to overhaul our healthcare system, how to extend healthcare to all Americans. So this was always, in our minds, a PBS election special.
And if I can say to listeners, the way that it's will come about as an election special is that Critical Condition, the documentary, premieres at 9 p.m. tonight, 9 p.m. tonight on PBS stations around the country, including KCET in L.A., and we'll talk more about it. It tells the stories of people. It looks at the human side, the compelling human stories of people confronting the problems in our healthcare system. But following that, at 10:30 p.m., is a special called Prescription for Change with Jim Lehrer. And this features a discussion on the presidential candidate's coverage proposals, moderated by Susan Denser, editor of the journal Health Affairs. She's going to have a person from each campaign and someone from Princeton University and someone from the Heritage Foundation. So 9 o'clock to 9:30, the stories, the human face of the problem. 10:30, the electoral possibilities of confronting the problem. Let me also say while I'm saying that National Spanish Language Network, VME, will air a one-hour version of Critical Condition on Wednesday, October 8th, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 7 p.m. here. And Saturday, October 11th, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. here. So that will cover the same stories in the Spanish language. How did Critical Condition happen? What's different about this one than the other films you've made?
Well, Critical Condition happened because about a dozen foundations made a leap of faith and supported the idea of this film before it existed on celluloid. And the film is different than the other half dozen that I've made on the health access issue because it's a so-called cinema verite or observational film. That means that all of the meaning is conveyed through the words and the experiences of the people going through the healthcare system. These are seriously ill patients battling their illness without insurance. We didn't want to have experts or policymakers talking at the viewer. We wanted them to vicariously experience the emotional, the financial, and medical consequences of coping with illness without insurance. Of course, the doctors and healthcare professionals that they encountered were very much a part of the story, and we were extremely fortunate that one of the subjects that we profiled, Carlos Benitez, met Dr. Dowling at a health fair at UCLA and became very much part of the fabric of that story.
Dr. Dowling, your role in this issue and this film?
Well, first, Jerry, thank you for including me on the show, and thank you, Roger, and the foundations for the leap of faith in putting this together. I was just, I had a minor role, and about 3 years ago, I got a phone call from the dean of the School of Medicine at UCLA, Dr. Jerry Levy, who said that they had been contacted by someone associated with PBS that wanted to do a documentary on uninsured patients who were working and quite sick, and if I had anyone to let them know. And I kept that in the back of my mind, and several months later, there was a health fair. The UCLA medical students, whom I would call them among the most idealistic people in the world, were having a health fair down in Lenox, which is a one-mile square town located right at the end of LAX runway. So you know who lives there. It's poor immigrants. And they presented this patient to me, this guy who was standing in a chef's hat. He cooks in a French restaurant. And it turned out he was quite sick. And that began the story, and we followed him around for a couple of years almost. So it was just by chance that I was involved, and I'm grateful that UCLA came through with this fellow.
Okay, let me ask you, Dr. Dowling, and you could chime in, Roger Weisberg. Tell briefly the story so that way we get a little window into the film, which, as I said, rather than being, as we've said, rather than being talking heads, pundits, experts, for the most part, it's the people on the ground, in the trenches, in their real lives, living the experience of the gaps in our healthcare system. So, Dr. Dowling, if, you know, one of the stories, the story you dealt with.
Okay, well, Carlos is a man about 48, I think, and he's an immigrant from Mexico. He's a legal citizen, has three kids. He works full-time here in a French restaurant cooking, and he has no health insurance because he could no longer afford to purchase it through an employer. He, turns out, has a very bad curvature of his spine and had been taking pain medicines on his own and almost bled to death, which is when the students identified him because of a severe anemia. He then went to the county hospital here. And,
let me ask a quick question on that. Am I to guess from that that the pain medications he were taking were blood thinners?
No. They were drugs like Motrin and over-the-counter Naprosyn and Aleve, that kind of stuff that can cause ulcers in your stomach.
Very good. Thank you.
And he was admitted to Harbor UCLA, an excellent public hospital here, and they transfused him. And they saw him, and they said they didn't think surgery was indicated. So he went down to Mexico City. His sister knew someone down there and saw a spine surgeon down there, and they said you needed surgery on your back, and you would need $40,000 up front. So he came back here and got a hold of me, and I called the people at UCLA again and said, this guy is back. And I called a Dr. Jim Luck, who's head of the orthopedic hospital at Santa Monica, UCLA, and said, Jim, we got this guy. He may or may not need surgery. If he does, would you and your spinal surgeons do this for free? And he said, absolutely. And the hospital agreed. So I saw Carlos the next week and said, I said, we've got two disparate views on whether you need surgery or not. And I'm going to send you over to the top people at UCLA, and if they think you need surgery, you will get it for free. And as it turns out, they said, this guy needs surgery. And he went forward with about a $300,000 procedure, had some complications, but came out 3 inches taller at the end. So it was a very good ending.
Now, so he, it sounds like, is quite the exception. He got lucky.
Absolutely. I think that... Dr. Dowling and his surgeon recognize that that he's the rare exception, and Dr. Dowling, who's a very modest man, makes the point in the film that it's just simply not possible to do endless surgery on uninsured patients. The hospitals have to keep their doors open, and it really begs, and this is in Dr. Dowling's words, it begs a national solution.
Right. In other words, the thing that people have to remember is that the way that this system can work, and there's many other problems going on in terms of escalating costs, et cetera, but is that the larger the pool of people that from which you are paying for the health care, the easier it is, the more you can spread it around, and the more you subtract people from the pool, those 47 million who are not insured under the current system, the more difficult it gets for everyone.
That's
fair
right.
Enough?
Exactly correct.
Okay, you say, this quote on the PBS website, during just the 90-minute running time of this film, an additional 377 Americans will lose their coverage. How does that happen?
Well, during the year that the film was made, over 2.2 million Americans became uninsured. So we simply did the math to make it more tangible and came up with that figure that during the 90-minute running time, that translated to 322 people losing health insurance. And you can lose your health insurance for any number of reasons. The people in the film discovered that when you become ill and too ill to work, when you lose your job in our employer-sponsored
right.
healthcare system,
right.
you lose your health insurance.
Mm-hmm. So this makes very good sense. In other words, if you're well enough to work, you can keep your insurance. Once something happens where you cannot work, you then need your insurance more than ever, and that's when you often lose it.
And another point is with Carlos. He had insurance through the restaurant he worked with. He had had it before. He didn't think they were helping him. And furthermore, he had to pay... part of the policy, it's usually about 25%, and can no longer afford it. Now, as you mentioned, the cost of health insurance has almost doubled since 2000. In fact, an employer-based family package, family insurance, is now about $12,000 a year. So that's an enormous cost. And even if you're only shouldering one-fourth of that, in this case, $3,000, that was too much for the Benitez family to carry.
Okay, so even people who can get it through their employer, the copays have gone up, the COBRAs, things like that have gone up so much that in this time of inflation of other needs, whether it be gas or food, et cetera, and all the falling income and falling jobs in this economy, people are having to choose and sometimes give up, take the risk, the gamble of giving up health insurance. If you go to the PBS website and you go for critical condition, I could give you the whole web address, but it's long and complicated and would only screw things up. But go to pbs.org and then go critical condition, and you will find a wealth of information, including, am I correct, guys, a streaming version of the entire film will be up there for the next 90 days.
That's correct.
That's pretty wonderful. Okay. Let me shift the conversation. If 82% of Americans think our healthcare system needs a major overhaul, and 90% of Americans think the next president and Congress should improve the quality and affordability of healthcare, so the goal of your film, your work, your advocacy, our conversation, is to contribute to the adoption of sane healthcare policies and excellent healthcare and improved health, right? So my goal is to ask the right questions. If that's really the goal, and we're asking questions about how to get there, isn't one of the very first questions, what is the role of the insurance industry? What value do they deliver? Could that value be replaced from some other source? Could it be done better, cheaper, more effectively without them?
Well, that's a very complicated question.
This is Roger Weisberg answering.
The $2 trillion that we spend every year on healthcare represents income to somebody. To the insurance industry, to doctors, to hospitals, to pharmaceutical companies, and so on. And the insurers in this country have a very powerful lobby, as a result of which a system that would replace private insurers with a single-payer government finance system is just politically off the table. It's just not a plan that is being proposed.
Now, wait a sec. But my question... My question was not about what's on the table. My question was not about lobbyists. My question was, if the goal is to come up with sane health care policies, better health care, and better health, so I'm saying let's forget what's politically possible. I remember sitting at a public hearing on the Clinton health care plan back in 94.
Right.
And the first thing that the fellow got up and said was, there's not the political will in this country to go for single payer, so we didn't even entertain that. And I got up and I said, wait a minute, you know, there's millions of people who are hurt by this and only, you know, or let's say hundreds of millions of people hurt by this, the whole system hurt by this, and there are the insurance lobbyists. Why can't we generate the political will? So my question is, taking questions of politics off the table, is there any justification for the insurance industry?
Well, let me make a stab
okay.
at this. And I'll say up front, I'm now agnostic on how we fix this problem.
Okay.
I just know we've got to get universal care to everyone. I don't care how we get there anymore. And there are many different ways, from the Canadians to the French, the Norwegians, they've all done it with some remarkable combinations of systems. But I would say the insurance companies certainly aren't all bad, and they're going to be with us, and they need to be regulated, but they can bring efficiency to the process, and they do. Medicare for senior citizens is based on a private insurance model which administers it. So that's a system that actually works pretty good. And so that maybe we can end up with Medicare for
all. Let me ask a question then, because you've just made a nuance there, a kind of a cut in there that I hadn't considered, which is that Medicare is single payer for people of a certain age. Yes?
Yep,
it is.
And yet administered by private health care or only in certain policies?
No, it goes through a private intermediary, that's different on different regions of the country. And from that, you can buy an HMO or anything else But this was the compromise back in 65 to get this through.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, when people say single payer, if they shifted that to Medicare for all, then there would be a place for some sort of private entity in the mix.
Yes.
And some of the people who are currently employed by the current insurance industry might continue to do their work in that, but probably some of the marketing people and advertising people would be out of luck.
You could save costs there.
Okay. And right now, the difference between the overhead in Medicare and the overhead in private insurance, the last I heard, was about 4% to 20%?
Yeah, in that range.
Okay.
That's about right.
So let me just ask one other question of you two before I let you go. Let me set it up. We're in the midst of an ugly financial crash. It's going to hurt a lot of people for a long time. And one way to describe what happened is that we didn't stop a scam before it really got destructive. And that scam was bad loans, bundled and esoteric instruments like credit default swaps, right? Couldn't one say that the health insurance industry is in some sense a similar scam? It doesn't actually provide enough value for what it takes out in costs, and yet there's no clamor for calling it off. And I'm going to read a quote from John McCain. This was in an article entitled Better Healthcare at Lower Cost for Every American in a magazine put out by the American Academy of Actuaries. Quote, John McCain, opening up the health insurance market to more vigorous nationwide competition, as we have done over the last decade in banking, would provide more choices of innovative products, less burdened by the worst excesses of state-based regulation. Now, could this narrative, linking the health insurance industry to the financial industry, break through the inertia at this moment of the unquestioning fear or resistance to single-payer health care?
Well, that's an interesting thought. I think it's going to be related in from this perspective, in that we're in a global market now, and we can no longer compete manufacturing things and everything else carrying this burden of cost, and that's going to force us to get cost under control. And people will understand, because of the banking fiasco here, that regulation is absolutely necessary.
Okay, I like what you're saying. In other words, look at what's happening to Detroit and say they can't compete with Japan because their biggest expense per automobile is for health care costs.
And Starbucks' biggest expense is health care, not coffee.
Very good. Thank you to both of you. The website is pbs.org, and you can look for Critical Condition, and the film Critical Condition airs tonight on PBS, on KCET in L.A., 9 p.m., followed at 10:30 by a discussion of the two parties' presidential candidates' coverage plans. Thank you to Roger Reisberg and Patrick Dowling. Keep up your good work.